You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, we are back and we are about to get into our conversation with Ruth. Guys, if you were not here on Tuesday, where were you? It wasn't even a thing for the girls. It was a thing for everybody. Everybody needed to be there on Tuesday, but it's okay. She's back. Ruth, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Holiday things.
Ah, we love that. Hey, we need to wind down. It's been a hectic year.
Yes, it has. In a crazy, crazy way.
honestly. But we thank God for carrying us this far. It was only through him that we have made it to this to the end of the year. So we are grateful for that. Thank you for joining us again. I'm looking forward to today's chat as well. But before that, just give a second so that we can get the intro playing.
Tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so today we are talking about feminine strengths and virtues, right? So before we even get into that, I just want to ask, I'm just curious, as a woman, do you think there's a lot of pressure that is on women in terms of the qualities that they're supposed to have, the way that they're supposed to conduct themselves, the way that the expectation that is set on women? Do you think it's a lot of pressure, or do you think that is the way it's supposed to be?
That's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
It can go either way. You know, I think it's something that varies from person to person.
Yeah, of course.
By character, it's relative. You know, we have a lot of pressure. We have a lot that is expected of us. We have pressure to deliver in so many ways. It's going to be the way you carry yourself. It's academic. It's intellectual. It's emotional. You know, how you are going to react to situations. There is just so much expected of us. But I think it now then depends on us as individuals. How do we receive this expectation that is on us? How do we receive it? How do we perceive it? And how then do we respond to it? And that, I think, that is what matters really, because I believe that no, we cannot compare. Let's not compare between the boy child and the girl child. Let's not compare. But yes, there is a so much expectation for the women today. Yes, there is. And but I think it just comes to how you are going to
deal with that.
Respond.
And the expectations are everywhere. It's our faith, it's our cultures, it's society. But hey, Guning, it's fine. We move. It's fine.
Yes. You remind me of a presentation I did a long time ago. It was entitled "The Woman of Many Hats."
Listen,
you know, just to show how, you know, we are wearing so many hats, and we have to. You have to be every woman inside of you.
Listen, and I haven't even become a wife or a mother, and already my hats are too many. Too many.
Oh my word, you are yet to wear more.
all right, let's get into today's conversation. Thank you so much. So today we want to look at feminine strengths and virtues. We always look at expectations that are placed on women. We always look at the struggles that they experience, the different challenges that they may encounter as they grow into different phases of life. But today we want to talk about what is it that stands out in a woman in terms of her strength, in terms of the virtues that exist within her, while using scripture as a guidance, you know, to understand these qualities better. So can we just briefly first talk about, it says like biblical examples of women who demonstrated strength in challenging circumstances, but I just want to ask you, like, who's your favorite woman to look up to in scripture where you're like, you know what, if she could do it, I can do it too? Which woman stands out to you as someone that you look up to in terms of the strength that she displayed in her own story?
For me, it's Esther.
Isn't it Esther for hero. All of us?
She just did it all. She did it all. She delivered.
She did.
She did. You know, she's that. And she's initially a single lady, and then she's a married woman, and then you know, life happens.
Yeah.
And she has to, and she uses her strengths. She uses who she is. You know, she didn't go far away. She didn't. She just looked into herself and to her God. And it worked out. If she could do it, I think I can do it.
You can do it too. And what's so beautiful about Esther's story is that she was thrust into that world. Like, it was never, in the beginning, nothing was necessarily her choice or she, voluntary, you know.
Exactly.
She was a captive in a foreign land. Then she was thrust into marriage that she was not prepared for because, you know, it was something that was forced on the woman there. But she took those challenges in stride and she's like, you know what, I'm God's daughter. This is just light work for me. And she worked hard. And then the Jews were threatened. It's interesting that you even chose Esther because she's even the focus of this week's story. I mean, of our quarterly this week. And we are learning about how, you know, ministry in across cultures and foreign lands. And Esther is the focus of that story. But I think, yeah, that is a good example of someone who displayed strength in very difficult challenges and who never let the weight of those challenges bring her down. Right. So looking at Proverbs 31, Proverbs 31 is a popular verse when we talk about women. It's like, yeah, this is who you're supposed to be. So what stands out? Yes, it's the blueprint. It's the guideline, the what do you call the manual of womanhood. So which virtues from this passage resonate with you and how do you strive to embody them? Like, as a woman, when you look at Proverbs 31, because like you said, we are all individuals and we experience life and see life differently. So of course, Proverbs 31 may be a blueprint, but it doesn't mean the entirety of it applies to all of us exactly as it is. So what virtues within the chapter stand out to you as qualities that you try and emanate in your daily life?
The one that has, since I was a young girl, the one that really spoke to me is verse 30. Which says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, for me, it's saying that, you know, these things of the world will pass away. But the most important thing is to fear the Lord. You can follow the whole of Proverbs 31. You can follow everything that has been said, every kitchen party and everything. But as long as you have for those things to work, you need to have fear for the Lord. For those things to work out, for you to become that excuse me, woman that you're supposed to be, it begins with shedding off the things of the world. Vanity is vanity. Beauty will go away. Beauty will fade. You know, those are vain things. But what matters is, did you fear the Lord? Did you fear the Lord? So for me, that is my greatest take from Proverbs chapter 31, that the most important thing I should do is fear the Lord. And Matthew 6 verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So for me to become that woman, to become that woman of Proverbs 31, the woman of many hats, she wore so many hats and she pulled them off so effortlessly. For me to do that, you know, when you read that chapter, it can be so daunting. It can be so, you know, like, yo, you know, this
heavy. Gulini. Exactly.
You know, gulini. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
How do we get to that mindset, though? Because, like, it's one thing, like, honestly, to say, we have to strive to seek the kingdom of God. All these things are vanity and they are vain and, you know, there's no need for them. There's much more important things. But then when you then look at life itself, it's so difficult to ignore those things that are considered vain and all of that, because we we seek the approval of our fellow human beings. We seek to fit in. We don't want to stand out in a way where it's like you're, you know, and it's so difficult to want to be true to your individuality when the pressure of expectation is so heavy. So how do we work towards having that mindset of saying, you know what, all these things don't matter. I need to focus on my developing my relationship with God. I need to focus on ensuring that my Christian principles are what guide me every day. How do we get to that mindset and ignore the things of vanity that hold a lot of weight and affect us on a day-to-day basis?
Let me just come back a bit again.
Okay.
That is a very good question. Mm. And in answering it, what I'm saying is that before you become this woman,
mm-hmm.
before you can have the outer beauty,
mm-hmm.
before you can be a woman who is chartering relationships, a woman who is who has servants and is selling, you know, and he's got businesses as the woman of Proverbs 31,
mm-hmm.
you need first the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Without God, you will not be able to achieve those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. I believe you need the help of God.
Mm-hmm.
You need the Holy Spirit to guide you, to show you how you can be that. And it's in praying, you know, that you say, God, there's this woman that I want to become. Can you help me become her? I cannot do it by myself. I cannot. Not by power or by might, but by the Spirit of God. So what I'm saying is, it's okay. You can be the woman of Proverbs 31.
Mm-hmm.
But to become her, seek first the kingdom of God. Be anchored in God so that you can be anchored in other things that are happening around you. If you're going to be a wife, then you can pull it off well. If you're a young lady, you are pulling it off well because you have rooted yourself in Jesus Christ.
Mm. That is indeed powerful. Mm. All right. So then the Bible speaks of virtues like humility and servanthood. And we know that usually those types of conversations, like even including submission, are things that are used to target women to say, this is your role. You are supposed to be meek and quiet and all of that. What do you think is the context of the servanthood and humility that God expects from women? What exactly is it? Does that mean that we must accept being walked over? Are we not supposed to speak back when things are being done that are wrong to us? How exactly are we supposed to embody servanthood and humility in a way that doesn't jeopardize our own lives, or, like, you know, jeopardize our worth and self-worth, but still follows the principles that God expects of us?
I'm reminded of the woman Abigail. Abigail was the wife to Nabal, and she knew that her husband was, for lack of words, foolish.
Yeah, she
and
did.
And she would watch him. And, you know, she's a very wise woman who is married to someone who is just not
a mess, you know, a mess of a man.
Yes, a mess of a man. Mm. But she's not there standing and saying, hey, my, you know, he's like this, he's like that, wada wada. No, no, she kept quiet. She still respected. But in her own feminine ways, made sure that her husband was safe, made sure that she was, you know, she took care of things in a wise way, you know. So what I'm saying is, as women, we need wisdom. A lot of wisdom on how to maneuver these situations.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, also speaking to myself, we operate from a place of emotion, from a place of anger, of retaliation and everything. And yet...
yeah, talking to the choir. We are the emotions just take control sometimes.
They take over, and yet we should be using wisdom. Ask God, show me how I can be rational. how I can deal this in a better way, how I can think straight and clearly in the midst of a storm and not fall apart and not make things go even worse. Mm. We definitely need wisdom from God. And having, you know, being humble, in that way you realize that when you're humble, it doesn't mean you're being stepped over. Mm. In a certain way, when you have talked to God about these things, he covers you in his own way. He covers you in his own way. And, you know, my favorite hymn is "A Wonderful Savior is Jesus My Lord." You know, and there's a part that says he covers me there with his hand. God will cover you with his hand if you just tell him, "God, I'm in need of your wisdom. I'm in need of how to maneuver this situation without, you know, offending anyone, without stepping on toes. God, cover me with your hand." God, I believe God can do that for us.
Mm. And you've already spoke of the importance of wisdom and discernment that women need to have. So then, speaking of that, how can we seek to apply wisdom, to even have wisdom in the first place, in the way that we make decisions, in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we engage with people? Where do we find this wisdom and how do we apply it effectively?
The Bible, once again, I'll come back to the first verse I shared. Matthew 6, verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Hey. In whatever situation, whatever you're, if you're setting your goals, seek first the kingdom of God. Am I aligning to the kingdom of God? When you're having trouble with your children, seek first the kingdom of God. When you're having trouble in the workplace, seek first the kingdom of God. Whatever situation you are facing, your first port of call should be to seek first the kingdom of God. The Bible says in James that he says, "If you come near to me, I will come near to you. Come near to God and he will come near to you." You know, it's a matter of us taking that step towards God, and God takes that step towards us. And in doing so, our problems are solved. Coming back to James again, James 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all with no reproach, and it will be given." You know, it's saying generously. Have we tapped into the generousness of God? Have we exhausted it? Are we going to God and asking for wisdom? Are we doing our honest part about that? Are we asking him, how many of us are genuinely praying for wisdom every day to say, "God, please give me wisdom in all that I do, in my interactions, give me wisdom." So we need to be intentional. We need to step out and say, "God, you said you're going to give this to us. I have come to collect."
And when you say that, it makes me think of David. Me and my family, we've been looking at the book of Psalms for the past couple of weeks. And something that I've learned from David is that this man, he wasn't a perfect person. He had problems. He was a very problematic human being. He just, you know, but when it came to the claim that he had to the promises and the blessings of God, he never held back. He acknowledged his faults. He acknowledged that, "Yes, I'm not the best person, but God, I cannot suffer when I am worshiping you. Like, what are people going to say when you, my God, are failing to make me thrive? Is you're embarrassing yourself?" You know, that type of confidence, I think that is what we lack, even beyond just women. Like, the way we pray, I don't think we truly have confidence in asking God for things. To say, "God, I'm not the smartest to deal with this, and I don't know how to, but I need to. So you need to help me do it, because there's no other way for me to do it." And like you're saying, when it then comes to applying or using wisdom, that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to tell God, to say, "God, I need wisdom. I'm not able to navigate life without wisdom that comes from you. So you need to do something about it." Maybe we need to pray that God helps us learn how to pray better, because God has so many things he wants to give us, but we just don't know how to ask him for it. And yeah, I think all right. So the last thing I want to ask, what do you think are strengths that exist in a woman that only women can have? What is it that we have that we know that this is where we get to shine and show what a woman is capable of? What do you think?
I would say as women, we are nurturing. It's in our nature. We are nurturing, and that is our strength. We are also adaptable human beings.
Ooh.
We adapt to situations. We just take on what is coming, and you adapt, and you move with it, and you work with it.
Yeah.
Whatever comes your way, you know, you are there being a mbogodo in whatever situation you have. We are adaptable. We are adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is one of our strengths, and that nurturing spirit that we have.
And you know what? The world would not be, I mean, the world is a terrible place, but it would be much worse without the nurturing quality that women have. So I think, you know what, if there's one thing I've taken away is that as women, we do make the world a little bit brighter, but we can do better. And that is by first seeking God, and everything else we need will then be added to us. Thank you so much, Ruth.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thank you very much.
Lovely May conversation. Please don't grow weary. Me, I will be disturbing you next year. I will disturb
All
you.
Right. Not a problem.
Thank
Please
you.
Please pray for me. I'll be praying for you too.
Definitely. Thank you so much. God bless you and have a lovely day.
Thank you.
That was Ruth, and she helped us in the conversation about feminine virtues and strengths. And I think there was quality in the things that she had to say. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And listen, Proverbs 31, those qualities, everything, it will be yours.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.